Hey, today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him so very much for the continued sponsorship and the Chizuk HaTorah that goes on here. So we are holding on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and we are about to go through a conversation that took place between Isi and Rabbi Yochanan. We're on the very end of the second wide line of Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara is going to record this conversation. The conversation is ultimately going to lead to further discussion of the shear of Reishis HaGeiz, of how much one is obligated to give for Reishis HaGeiz. And then the Gemara is going to have a discussion on Amud Aleph of the shear of a Beged Katan that we identified in the Mishnah, that you give enough wool that the Kohen is able to make a Beged Katan. What kind of Beged Katan? How big is a Beged Katan? Then we're going to discuss what happens if you shear a sheep, sell it, shear a sheep, sell it, not the shearings, the sheep. After each sheep that you shear, you sell it. So if only five sheep, only when you shear five sheep, it's Chayiv and Reishis HaGeiz. What if you don't own any of the sheep by the time you fill the shear of Reishis HaGeiz? This ownership of the sheep at the time that you get to that shear, is that going to be part of the Mechayiv of Reishis HaGeiz? And then the Gemara is going to identify which Tana in Shas holds that if the mocher, someone sells wool from the sheep, but he keeps some of the wool, then the mocher has full responsibility for Reishis HaGeiz. That's what our Mishnah said. We're going to try to figure out who holds that way. And that will bring us to the end of Perek Reishis HaGeiz, and then Bez Hashem, we will begin Perek Shiluach HaKein. And it's obviously going to talk about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. And some of the gedarim of the mitzvah, the Mishnah is going to compare Shiluach HaKein to Kisui Adam. We're going to discuss which halachos of the previous prakim, of the previous Mishnayos, where we talk about all these different mitzvahs of Matanos and Reishis HaGeiz and Shiluach HaKein, which of these halachos are a chiddush and which are not a chiddush, because we mentioned by each of them, we discussed whether they're Noeg in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlar, it's Bifnei Abayis, Shalom Bifnei Abayis. So which of those need to be said and which of those are obvious anyway? And then at the end of the daf, we're going to discuss how there's no mitzvah shiluach on kachim or on a bird that had killed the person, that then you would not have a mitzvah of shiluach hakein. So let's pick up again. Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We are at Kisalik Isi, second wide line. We're going to bring this conversation that happened between Isi and Rabbi Yochanan. So Kisalik Isi Barhini. When Isi Barhini went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan found Isi the Kamasi Lelebrei at the time that he was learning this Mishnah, our Mishnah, with his son, and he heard Isi teaching his son the Mishnah with the word Rechelim. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan corrected Isi, and he said Asniye Rechelos. It should be Rechelos Loshen Nekeva, not Rechelim. So Amar Lei, Isi said to Rabbi Yochanan, Kidachsev. What do you mean? I'm just teaching him the Mishnah in the Lashon HaTorah, because the Torah says that Yaakov sent Esav Rechelim Masayim, not Rechelos. So you see, it's Rechelim. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said, Lashon Torah Liatzma, Lashon Chachamim Liatzman. That's Lashon Torah, but the Chachamim speak in a different Lashon, and Rechelos is the proper Lashon Chachamim. That's the Lashon that you're supposed to use. Marsha has an explanation of what exactly the difference really is. Marsha suggests that Rechelim is about the entire min, including the Zecharim and the Nekevos. Shinayach Keider HaRechelim, the Pasukin Shir Hashirim says, and it's not Dafka for the min Nekeva. When the Pasuk wants to be Mavdil, wants to distinguish between Zachar and Nekeva, we'll call a Nekeva a Rachel and a Zachar an Ayil. But when it talks about the entire min in total, it will refer to them as Rechelim. So anyway, Amar Lei, the conversation continues. Rabbi Yochanan says to Isi, Man Reish Shidra Bavel, who's the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel these days? Isi had just arrived in Eretz Yisrael, so he wanted to know, no, what's doing in the community in Bavel? Who's the Rosh Yeshiva there? Amar Lei, oh, there's this wonderful Rosh Yeshiva, Abba Aricha, the tall Abba. He was referring to Rav. Rav was a very tall person. Rav's name was Abba. They always call him Rav as a Lashon of Kavod, just like Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is called Rebbe. So this Abba was called Rav. So he referred to him by his name, Abba Aricha. So Amar Lei, Abba Aricha Kris Lei. That's how you call him? You call him Abba Aricha? Do you have any idea who you're talking about? We were both in Rebbe's shir together at the same time. I was 17 rows behind Rav in Rebbe's shir, and they used to seat them based on chashivus. So Rav was 17 rows ahead of me in shir. Rabbi Yochanan tells Isi. V'nafke zikukin denur mipume de Rav lupume de Rebbe. And I remember when he would get into conversations with Rebbe and learning fire would come out from his mouth to Rebbe's mouth, and Lupumid de Rebbe, Lupumid de Rav, and from Rebbe's mouth to Rav's mouth, the Divrei Torah were Ke'esh, Velesana Yada Mahinamrin. I didn't even know what the conversation was about. I didn't even understand what they were talking about. Va'at Abba Aricha Krisle. And that's the way you referred to him, as Abba Aricha. So the question, what's so bad about Abba Aricha? Why was that? So Rashi says, you should have called him Rabbeinu. That's the way you refer to someone of that level, of that stature. You call him Rabbeinu. You don't call him Abba Aricha. Abba was his name. You're calling him by his name. So Ben Yoyada raises the question that according to Rashi, the problem was not the Aricha part. Aricha is just that he was tall. The problem was they didn't call him Rabbeinu. He should have said, Va'at Abba Karisale. Why does he have to emphasize the Aricha part? The fact that he called him tall is not a Gnai at all. That's a Shevach. We find the Pasuk is Meshabeach people who are tall. And Shir Shirim is Kamaseichdom Salatamar, that someone's height, like a Tamar, is a very praiseworthy thing. Chazal Meshabeach Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was very tall. He was Eser Amos tall. Shmuel Anav, he was Meshabeach Shaul, that he was Meshichmo Maila Mikola Am, that he was physically very tall. So saying that someone is tall is not an insult. It's a very positive thing to say. So that really wasn't the criticism. So as to Ben Yoyada, he should have said Abba Krisalei. Are you calling him by his first name? So Ben Yoyada explains that if Isi would have called him just Abba, then there wouldn't have been any taina, because Abba, while it is a name, is also a title of Chashivus. So he would have assumed that like Abba Shaul, right? No one had two names in Shas. So whenever you have the name Abba before another name, it's always a Shevach. It's always a title of Chashivus prior to the name. So that's what he was telling him. If you would have just called him Abba, I would have assumed that you weren't referring to his name, you're referring to his chashivas. But once you add the word Aricha, then it sounds like you're referring to him by his name, and that's, it's only Megala that he was referring to him by his name because he calls him Abba Aricha. I was just thinking that may have ramifications lahalacha, because a person is not allowed to call their father by their first name or their Rebbe by their first name. You're not supposed to call your father by their first name. What if your father's first name is Abba? There are people that have the name Abba, so you're allowed to call him Abba. So it seems from this Ben Yoyada that if it's obvious that you're calling him Daddy, but you're calling him Abba because of you saying father, then it would be mutter. But if you're giving any indication that you're calling him Abba based on that being his name, then the Chora, it would be Asir. It's also interesting, Torah is referred to as fire, right? That the fire came out from one mouth to the other. So we find that the fire's Torah's nimshal halo kodvar ke'esh no Hashem. Hashem says that my words are like esh, and what it means is that when a person learns Torah, there's a certain ritchador raisa. The Marsha points out there's a certain energy of the Torah, but the Etz Yosef adds a beautiful biur. He says that just like if you have a small coal that's a burning ember, when you fan it, the fire grows, and that's where it can really become something big, and the colors, you see all the different colors of fire that come out of it, but you never would have seen any of it if you're just looking at the coal. If you just leave the coal as is and you just leave it alone, the same is true with Torah. You see, the words of Torah, they seem like very pashut. It's only when you really work on it and when you really delve deep into it, you see how much richness there is in every word of Torah. And that's what he was saying, that I was sitting there, I heard a shir, it was a nice shir. But what Rav was hearing from Rebbe was something different. He was able to understand on such a deeper level that I didn't even know what they were talking about when they were going back and forth in Shir. Sometimes you remember, like, you know, from your days in Yeshiva, that you're learning by an Adam Gadol, and there was that one guy, that Arisha B'chabura, who's just understanding things on a different Madrega. So Amalei Ihu, Reish Sagez B'kama. So once they're talking and they were learning this Mishnah, so Isi says to Rabbi Yochanan, what's the shear that's needed for Esh Sagez? So Amalei B'shishim. Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, the shear is shishim. I've anon b'kol shein tanan, but the Ar Mishnah says a kol shehu. So Amalei Imkein ma ben livelach. If you don't trust me, if I don't know how to explain the Mishnah any more than you, so what's the difference between us? In what way am I any greater than you? No, but I am greater than you. If you knew that it was shir shishim and kol shein zainab, I know that the shir is shishim and kol shein is lav davka. And when the Chum say kol shein, it's because they wanted to say that you don't need a tremendous shir like Rabbi Dosa requires, that it's good enough to have a smaller shir, but it doesn't mean literally kol shein. So he's saying, that's my tradition, I know how to read this Mishnah. So Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Reishis Hagez Rav Amar Bishishim. Rav Dimi reported that Rav said the shear of Reishis Hagez is 60 slotin. Rashi has two interpretations of how to understand this. Either Shisha means 1/60th is the shear, 1/60th of the shearings is what you give to the Kohen, or the way we'll go with is the other Pshat and Rashi is Shisha means you need 60 slotim of shearings in order to generate a chiyuv of Resh Sagez. That Rav says it's Shishim, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim, Rabbi Yane, Amar, Bishesh, that no, only 6 slotim of shearings is enough to be Mechayev Resh Sagez. Amalei Abayil Ravdimi, you caused one kasha that we had to be answered, but you raised a new kasha. It's not a stira in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Bachan had previously said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the shear that's mechayiv in Reish Sagez is 6 slaim. And now we find in this Maisa that with the conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and Isi Barhini that the shear is 6D slaim. So it seems like it's a stira in Rabbi Yochanan. So now that Rav Dimi is saying that Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yanai that the shear is sheish, now I understand how to answer up that stira. Hadidei Hadarabe. Rabbi Yochanan himself holds the shear as shishim, but when he quotes Rabbi Yanai, his Rabbi held that the shear was sheish. So that part, you have now solved that problem. Ela derava derav kasha. But there's still a stira in Rav. The ha'amar Rav, because Rav said, mana upras. Rav said that the shear that's necessary in order to be chayiv in Resh Sagez is a mana and a pras. A mana is 25 slaim. A pras is a half of a mana. So 1.5 manas is 37.5 slaim. So how can you tell me that Rav holds that the shear of Resh Sagez is shishim? Rav apparently holds that shear of Resh Sagez is 37.5 slaim. That's what's going to be mechayiv in Resh Sagez. Says Gemara, "Derava derav nami lo kasha." No, it's not a stira. My mana dekamar ben arbaim slaim. When Rav says a mana upras, 1.5 mana, he's not talking about the 25 slaim manas. He's talking about the 40 sela manas. So 1.5 of 40, 40 times 1.5 is 60. So it's exactly the same. The havalei b'shishim. That turns out to be exactly shishim. The tiny town, the mana ben arbaim slaim, is that such a thing? Is there really a thing of a mana that's 40 slaim? Meaning we always thought a mana is 25 slaim. So what do you mean? That he was talking about a 40 sela mana? Oh, I was talking about the 142 cent dollar. Well, there's no such thing. What do you mean? That there's a 40 sela mana. So it says Mara in. No, there is. We do find such a thing in Shas. V'atanya, it says in the Tosefta, chemas chadasha. If you have a new kli that's made for to be machnas mashkim, it's made as like a canteen, to hold liquids, to hold water, but it hasn't been totally made and sewn up yet. So this is in Maseches Kelim, where we can discuss when something has the status of a kli with regard to being able to be mekabel tuma. Right? You have in Chumash, that Hagar had a chemas, right? A chemas is a canteen of some sort. It's meant to hold liquid. So you have a chemas chadasha that hasn't been sewed up, it hasn't been completed, it hasn't been fully made. Even though it's solid enough right now that you could load it with pomegranates and they won't fall out, you certainly can't load it with liquid yet because it's not totally sewed up, but the pomegranates that you put in it won't fall out. Tahor, it's not yet a kli. It's tahor, it's not able to be mekabel tuma because it was never completed as a kli. But what if tfara, you finish making it, and then nikra, v'nikra, and then it tears. So now, since it already had a shame kli, it doesn't lose the shame kli with a little tear. Shi'ura kimotzi rimonim. Only if the tear is big enough that rimonim would fall out of it, only then does it lose the shame kli and go back to being tahora. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says the shear is not measured by when rimonim would fall out of it, because people don't put peros in such a kli. The shame kli is mispatel only when the shear is so big, kipakayo shal shasi, when you put the needles that you use for the weaving, so that's that, and they would fall if they wouldn't be able to be held in the schemas, that's when it loses its shame of a kli. And here's the point, achas me arba bimana ben arba im slaim. It's 1/4 of 40 slaim of a mana that happens to be 40 slaim. And the only reason we quoted this whole Tosefta is just for that line that we just mentioned, that there's such a thing as a mana ben arba im slaim. That there's not every mana is 25 slaim. You have such a notion of a mana that's ben arba im slaim. L'chora, it turns out that that the machlok, it would seem that the whole machlokus over here is how would they use this kli? Meaning, if you had a chemas, the tor, would you use it for imonim or would you only use it for pakayos shel shasi? So that's a little bit difficult to say, though. Meaning the chronim on the mishnayos explain it's a little bit difficult to say that they're arguing in the mitzius of how they would use it. Meaning, maybe it depended on where you are and however they would use it. That's going to determine the halach. So the Mishnah Achron explains that they both agreed that since this was something that was designated for liquids, and there's no shear should really be a rimon, but we're talking about a chemas, which is a large kli that they would not use for liquids in the house. They would only rove tashmisho in the house. They would only use it for pakio shel shasi, for the weaving implements. But it was large, so when they were traveling on a long trip, they would bring it on the road and they would fill it up with whatever water they needed for the trip. So the machlokas is: do you look at rove tashmisho in order to determine what it would be used for, or would you look at the way it's used on occasion? So it's really a halachic argument. It's not an argument in mitzvahs. Okay, the common nosin. So we had said, how much do you give to the kohen for the reish sagez? So we said you give him mishkal chamish shloim, but meluban velo tzoi. It should be white. It should be clean. Clean wool. So it says, "Where tana lo shilu avnenu v'yitnenu lo." Not that you have to whiten it before you give it to him. El shilu avnenu koin v'yamud al chamish shloim. But the shear should be the full shear of chamish shloim after the Kohen whitens it. Meaning, it's your job to, it's not your job to whiten it, it's his job to whiten it, but you have to make sure that you're giving him enough, that even after it goes through the whitening process, the purification process, that it still has the proper shear. Kidei lasos beged katan. Then the Mishnah said, the shear of chamish shloim is the amount that's needed in order to make a beged katan. Minani mili, how do I know that that's the shear of reish sagez to make a beged katan? Amar Reb Shem Levi, Amar Krad, Pasuk says, when it's talks about giving it to the Kohen, you say you give the reish sagez to the Kohen, because Kivo Bachar Hashem Elokecha Mikol Shvatecha, the pasuk says that Hashem chose him amongst all the shvatim la'amod l'shareis. So we dash him davar shu roi l'sheiros. It has to be something that's roi l'sheiros that he can do the avoda within the Beis Hamikdash. Mind me, what's a beged? What's the smallest beged that he uses for the avoda? Avnet. It's the belt that the Kohen wore. That's the smallest of the big day kuhuna. So ema mi'il. How do you know that the beged we should look at that the Kohen uses to determine the shear of Reish Sagez is the Avnate? Maybe I should look at the Me'il, which is obviously a very large beged. Says Mar, Tefasta Meruba Lo Tefasta, Tefasta Mua Tefasta. That's the rule. Whenever you have multiple options to choose the larger one or the smaller one, we always assume the smallest one. And therefore, if it has to be the shear of a beged, we choose the smallest beged. Says Mar, but is that really the smallest beged? The Ema Kippa Shal Tzemer? Maybe it's the little cap that he has that's made out of wool, which is even smaller. Smaller than the Avnate. Titania, Kippa Shal Tzemer, Samunachas, Brosh Kohen Gadol, Ola, Tzitz Nasun. He used to wear a little wool cap that the tzitz would go on top of. L'kayim HaShanemer, V'samto Oso, Al P'sil Tcheles. And that's a fulfillment of what the Pasuk says, that you place the tzitz on top of a P'sil Tcheles. So Rashi understands that it's like this little hat, this little cap, and in addition to the Mitznefes that's said Beferish in the Torah, that was not made out of Tcheles, the Kohen Gadol had another little woolen cap. So Toras Chaim just raises the question that the Gemara Masechta Zvachim tells us that the hair of the Kohen Gadol could be seen between the tzitz and the mitznefes, and in that spot where his hair could be seen, that it was the makom hanachas tefillin. So if this kippah was this hat that he would put the tzitz on top of, so you wouldn't be able to see his hair between the tzitz and the mitznefes, because there's this other covering that would be between them. And also the lashon of the pasuk that the Gemara that quotes is not at all mashma, that there was a kova, that there was a hat on the Kohen's head. So the Toras Chaim says a little differently, that the Kippa Shel Tzemer is the Psil Tcheles that's mentioned in the Pasuk. It's not a kova, it's a strap, a wide strap, the width of the tzitz that they would weave with tchelis colored wool, and the tzitz had two holes in the back where these ritzuos would go through. So it was like straps for the tzitz. It wasn't a cap in addition to the tzitz. And in fact, the Chronim ask other kashas on Rashi. We don't find that the Kohen Gadol had more than eight begadim. So this would be a ninth beged, meaning if it's a totally seven beged. And also Rashi al Torah doesn't mention anything like this. He doesn't talk about this this beged. And the pasuk is mefurish v'hayi al mitzcho, that there can't be a chatzitza beina meitzach l'tzitz. And here we're saying that there's a kova. Very challenging Rashi to try to understand. Very difficult to understand why Rashi creates this ninth beged. But the Gemara is talking about something over here, so maybe it's talking about the straps itself. And we're asking about that. Those don't involve so much wool. So says the Gemara, Amar Kra, Hu Ubanav, Davra Shavala Aron Ubanav. Now we need a beged that's used not only by the Kohen Gadol, but that's used by Kohen Hetet as well. And that's an avnet. But the cap that's worn under the tzitz, or the part, the straps of the tzitz, that's only for Aaron, that's not for Banav. Says Gemara, Avnet Nami Lo Shavi. Avnet is also different between the Kohen Gadol and Banav. I understand very well if you assume like the Sheet and Maseches Yuma that Avneto Shel Kohen Gadol Lozeu Avneto Shel Kohen Hedyot, the Avnet that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur that was made only of Pishtan is different than the Avnet of a Kohen Hedyot which was made of Klayim of Tzemeru Pishtan Shapir. Then I understand very well that since the Kohen Gadol throughout the rest of the year used the same avnate as the Kohen Hedyot, so I understand that then it's Shadha La'arim L'banav throughout the rest of the year. Elamandi Amar, but according to the Shita that the avnate of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim was made of only Pishlan Zeu Avnato Shel Kohen Hedyot, and that was the equivalent, that was the same thing that the Kohen Hedyot used the rest of the year, and only the Kohen Gadol during the rest of the year would wear an avnate that actually had wool in it. So then, Ma'ikel Meimar, then how are you going to explain this? The avnate that had Semer in it was only exclusively for the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Hedyot wore the same thing that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur, which didn't have wool in it. So how can you say that the Avnet is something that was Shava? The wool Avnet was something that was Shava for the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot. It says more shame Avnet Ba'olam. No, every Kohen wore an Avnet. Granted, the one with wool was only for the Kohen Gadol. But not every Kohen wore this little cap under the tzitz. So that's why we assume Beged Katan is the Avnet. Lo Hispik Litno. We then said that if you dyed the wool before you gave it to the Kohen, then you're pata from Reish Sagez because you were Kona with Shinui. So Itmar, Gozaz, Umachar, Rishona, Rishona. Let's say you keep shearing, you shear one sheep. Well, you need to shear five sheep in order to be Chayv Reish Sagez. Let's say you shear one sheep, then you sell it. Shear another sheep, then you sell it. So by the time you fill the shear of Reish Sagez, you've already sold all the sheep. So if Chiz Amar Chayv, Rabbi Nosam Rav Shaya Amar Pater, Machloka, Samaroyim, whether you Chayv or Pater Reish Sagez. Rav Chiz Amar Chayv, Rav Chiz says you're chayiv da gazas because you actually shore five sheep. And at the time of the Geziza, you were chayv in the mitzvah. Rabbi Nosson Bar Hoshaya Amar Pater, be'idna t'kamala shiura, be'idna t'somcha v'lecha. Now, when you fill the shear of five sheep worth of shearings, then you still need them to be t'somcha. And it's not t'somcha. The Ram explains the machlokas. The Rav Chisda holds that the mitzvah of Reish Sagez begins at the beginning of the shearing, and you have five sheep right there that all belong to you. And that's asuyo, shema asos espalein. Right? That's the drasha we had. Shema asos pale in the mitzvah, that having five is what's mechayiv you in the mitzvah, even if at the end you don't own the five sheep, but it's the beginning of the shearing that is the mechayiv. That's Rav Chista's shita, and Rav Hoshaya obviously holds that no, that it's only the sof that's the mechayiv, that the tchila of the beginning of the shearing is not the mechayiv, the end of the shearing is the shas chiyuv. Okay, tonight. So we have our Mishnah. Halokeach geiz tzonu shel oved chavim. You buy the shearings of a sheep of an oved chavim. So the shearings are still attached to the behemah. Patam reish sagez. It's part from reish sagez because you only bought the shearings. You didn't buy the sheep. So it sounds like hatsono ligzos, if you were to buy the sheep of an oved chavim in order to shear, and then the deal was the sheep goes right back to the oved chavim. Now, I'm not just buying the shearings. I'm buying the sheep to shear, but then you get it back. Then the oved chavim gets it back. chayiv. You're going to be chayiv in Reish Lakish. But amai kol chad v'chad basu giza nafkalim irushu say, isn't that exactly our case? Because as soon as you shear it, it goes right back to the Ovid Chavim. So by the time you shear five sheep, you don't own the five sheep anymore. Says what? Tirgum Rav Chista libid Rav Nosson. No, the case in the Mishnah is that the Ovid Chavim gave it to you for 30 days. So you shear five sheep, and then at the end of 30 days, when you finish all your shearing, it's going to go back to him. But at the time that you get to five sheep worth of wool that you have shorn from those sheep, you still own all the five sheep. It's only at the end of 30 days. Lav dafka 30 days. It could be any amount of time. But the point is, it's not automatic that the second you finish shearing, that the Ovid Chavim now owns the animal again. Good. Then the Mishnah said, "Alokeach keitz sonu shel chavero," that if someone buys the shearings of his friend's sheep, but he buys only the giza that's still attached to the sheep. So the halacha is that if the mocher keeps any of the wool for himself, the mocher is fully responsible for the entire reish sages. So matana dechadika shira gavi mocher bas mocher azinon. Who's the tana that holds this way? That when the mocher keeps any part of it, he bears full responsibility. So we're going to have two possibilities. So who the tana is? First one we're going to reject, and then we'll accept the last one. That will be the end of the parak. So Amrav Chista, Rabbi Yehudihi. It's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Tetanan, because there's a Mishnah Maseches Peah, a lot of parallels, a lot of that the Gemara equates between Peah and Reish Sages. So the Mishnah Maseches Peah, Mocher Kilche Ilan B'toch Sadeu. A person has a field that's growing regular grain, but there are a number of trees throughout the field. And the Bala Sada sells the trees with the payrolls, but without the karka that's under the trees. So nosim peya lekal echad ve'echad. The guy who buys the trees has to leave peya from each of the trees. That's only if the balasada didn't leave any tree for himself. But if the balasada leaves any tree for himself, then he gives payah for everything. So you see that if the mocher keeps anything for himself, then he's fully responsible for the matanos. So Rava challenges Rav Chista. You yourself are the one who said that this din, that if he leaves one of the trees for himself, he's fully responsible. That's only if he began. The whole din of Rav Yudah is only when the balasada began to do the ketzira before he sold it. So he was already chayiv in payah at that time. So now he's not going to become patur from payah just because he sold the rest of the trees. That has no bearing on the case of selling sheep where he hasn't begun to do any shearing yet. He wasn't chayiv in Reish Sages yet. Just because he kept some of these shearings for himself doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to be chayiv. V'chite machinami v'ushis chuligzos. Maybe you'll make an ukimta and you'll say our Mishnah is also talking about only in a case where he began to shear. Well, bishla mahasam, I understand very well the Mishnah and Peah is self-understood that when he begins to do the ketzira, when everything was in his rishus, he has to be mafresh peah for the chelek of the lokeach. The pasuk says by peah, me'idna da'as chelikzar mechayiv b'kulasada, that at the moment you begin the ketzira, right away the chiyuv peah sets in immediately when you begin the ketzira. So if the mocher began to do the ketzira himself, I understand he's going to be chayiv in the peah for the whole thing. But that's not the way Reish Sages works. At the beginning of the shearing, you're not chayiv in Reish Sages. When are you chayiv in Reish Sages? When you did five sheep, you're chayiv in Reish Sages. So it's only later on that when you're memali the shear, whatever, it's only later that you're chayiv in Reish Sages. So we're back to the shiloh. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah that says that if the mocher keeps any of the shearings for himself, even though he sells most of the shearings, that the mocher is fully responsible for the reish sages? So says Gemara, it's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's nothing to do with Peah. Elo Amarava, hai Tanahu. It's the following Tana. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Amar lo mochar li b'nei me'ah shel parazu. A kona says to a mocher, sell me the b'nei me'ayim of this para. And v'hayiv had matanos in the b'nei me'ayim. There is the keva, which is a matnas kuna, noson l'koyed v'en menach lo men adamim. The lokeach has to give the keva to the kohen, and the mocher does not have to charge any less than the agreed upon price. The lokeach can't say, well, wait a second, I thought I was buying the whole b'nei me'ayim, now I have to give the keva to a kohen. No, you got to pay full price. Lokach menu b'mishkol. But if they weighed the b'nei me'ayim and he said, okay, I'm paying X number of dollars per pound, nos on the kohen, umenakalam and adamin. Then you give it to the kohen, you still have to give the keva to the kohen, but the lokeach does not have to pay for the weight of the keva that was in that b'nei me'ayim. So Rav explains what the raya is, what this has to do with our case, with the case of the Reish Sages. So it's from the first case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the mocher is not menaka the lokeach me'adamim when even though the lokeach has to give the keva if they didn't sell it by weight. Alma matanos to kohen lo mazbenin inish. Apparently, the chelik of the matanos that go to the kohen is never considered to be part of the sale. So even though the lokeach got them from the mocher together with everything else that he bought, it wasn't included in the sale, and the price that he was paying was for everything else because the keva was not included in the sale. So chenami matanos to kohen lamaz beninish over here as well. By resh segeis, we can assume that if I'm selling you the shearings of the sheep, I'm not including the matanos of the kohen. Hilkach shear amocher. So if the mocher leaves anything for himself, we assume that he's leaving for himself the matanos because matanos don't get included in the sale. So therefore, mocher chayiv. The mocher is going to be chayiv in resh segeis. Damalei lokech matan de kohen gabachi. Lokech would say the matana of the kohen is what you kept, but lo shear. But if the mocher kept nothing for himself, lokech chayiv. Damalei mocher matan de kohen lo zavni lach. That he could say to the lokech, the chelik that the kohen that you have to give to the kohen, I didn't really sell to you. The fact whatever you paid me was for everything else aside from the matana to the kohen. So now you have to take care of the matana to the kohen. You have to pay the matana to the kohen. Hadron lach resh sages. Now we move on to perek shilua chaken. This is a perek. It's very nogeya lemaisa. Shilas come up all the time. Just had the other day, someone came over to me and told me that he noticed a nest in his yard, and what should he do? So the exact procedure we'll have to figure out. He said he was very uneasy about this, sending away a mother bird and taking the eggs. He was very uneasy about doing this. He's like, do I have to do it? So I said, look, there are two mitzvahs in the Torah that have a promise of arichus yamim. This is by far the easier of the two, right? The other one is kibud av v'em. This is by far the easier of the two. So you take advantage. So the pasuk tells us that ki yikari kan sipor lefanecha baderech, right? That when you happen across a kan sipor, so when the aim is ravetzas al afrochim, so there's a los asei, los ikache im al abanim, and then there's an asei, shaleich te shalech asei im as abanim tikachach manit av lach varach te yamin, that you're supposed to be mishaleach, the aim. The time of the mitzvah is a major discussion in Rishonim. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that the time of the mitzvah is tsar balei chayim, that there's this natural instinct that there's avas ha'em v'rachameha alavlad, and it's not something that's based on seichel, because animals don't have seichel. It's a natural instinct that a mother's rachmanus is always alavlad, and therefore you have to have the rachmanus not to take away the beitzim while the mother is there. The Gemara tells us, and the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Brachos, that anyone who says Al Kan Tzipor Yagir Rachamecha Mishaskin Oso, that anyone who says, oh look, the Ribbono Shalom has Rachmanus on the Kan Tzipor, and we quiet him down because it's not Rachmanus. These are the rules of the Torah, these are the laws of the Torah. It's not based on anything that we can fully understand. So the Rambam himself deals with that. The Ramban deals with the Ramban, disagrees with the Rambam about the Tam. It's interesting, people don't often quote the Sefer Achinuch. Sefer Achinuch says that the basis of the mitzvah is to recognize Hashkachas Hashem, that every min of Balei Chayim, that not too many animals go extinct. Even if you're going to take the babies, you got to let the mother go so she can go produce more babies. Because that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha is on all of his brios that he makes sure that they'll still exist. And we should realize, Nashav Libeinu B'Kal V'Chomer, that the same is going to be true with humanity. So with all the world's problems and everything, we think the world is always going in the pits and everything is falling apart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has special Hashkacha on humanity for sure. Okay, so says the Mishnah, Shiluach HaKeh Noig Ba'aretz B'Chutz La'aretz. Shiluach HaKeh is Noig both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. B'tnei Abayis V'Shiluach B'tnei Abayis, both when we did and when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. B'chulin avalo b'mukdash, and it only applies to chulin birds, not to hegdish birds. Chomer b'kisei adam yishluach hakein. In a certain sense, kisei adam is more chomer than shiluach hakein, because shekisei adam noig b'chaya uba'ov. Kisei adam applies not only to an oaf, but even to a chaya as well. B'mezuman u'b'shein mezuman. And both an animal that's mezuman and that's not mezuman, that you have prepared in front of you and you didn't just happen upon. Shiluach HaKein is only by a bird, and it's only only if it's eino mezuman. It's only if you happen upon a. That's why someone told me that that it's shulach hakein. I just saw Rabbi Axelrod told me before that shulach hakein is called a mitzvah kala. Mitzvah kala is any mitzvah you don't put preparation into. Oh, because I was telling him Shabbos Agadol to address the topic. He said about preparation. He says mitzvah kala is any mitzvah they don't put preparation into. And by definition, shulach hakein, there's no preparation because shulach hakein is you just happen upon the nest. It's not something that you prepare. So that's why it's called a mitzvah kala. But you know, generally a mitzvah that that requires a challenge, that requires a lot of focus, that's something that requires preparation as well. Tiferes Yaakov, one of the Achronim, raises the question. It's a very strange Mishnah over here. Now, to go through the rules of Shulach Kein, fine, that's like all the other Mishnahs. But to start all of a sudden comparing it to Kisei Adam, like what's the Reishis Hageiz and Matanos, I get, right? Those are both Matanos to a Kohen. What on earth does Shulach Kein have to do with Kisei Adam? So he says that that the Mishnah says this only by the Mezuman and Chaya and Oph. Those are the only two halachos where we think there's a basis for comparison between Shulach Hakein and Kisei Adam, because there's room to say that Kisei Adam would have been noeg only on an Eino Mezuman, because it says Asher Yotzud Seid Chaya O Oph, that you happen to trap an animal, not that you own these animals. And that's why the Mishnah says by Chomer Sheish B'Shulach Chad Yosem Kisei Adam, that even though we can, from the Lashon the Pasuk, you would have thought that they're both only by an Eino Mezuman, so that's why you have to tell us no, Kisei Adam is even B'Mezuman. By Shulach HaKein there's Makom to say it would apply to a Chaya as well, from the fact that the Torah says Kan Tzipor, so that tells us that it's Dafka by Ofo, so that's why we mention it as the basis for comparison. Okay, you have to work it out. Ezu She'Eino Mezuman, what is the definition of Eino Mezuman? Out in the orchards you have these birds that are making nests, but if it's in your house, or you have domesticated birds, that's Pater from Shiluach HaKein. Ov tame patim l'shaleach. Only kosher birds are chayav in shiluach hakein. Right, if a person is shiluach hakein, the first thing you do is you have to, you know, take a picture of the bird and send it to someone who knows what kosher birds look like and kosher bird eggs look like. Make sure that it's a kosher bird. So an ov tame is patim from shiluach hakein. Ov tame rovitz al beitzei ov tahar. Tahar rovitz al beitzei ov tame patim l'shaleach. If you have a non-kosher bird over kosher eggs or vice versa, so also it's patim from shiluach hakein. If a certain bird called a kore, which is a kosher bird, but it typically is rovates on beitzim of other types of birds, and if you find a zachar of that min that's rovates on beitzim, Reb Lazar mechayiv v'cham potim. Reb Lazar is mechayiv in shulach hakein, v'cham mar patim from shulach hakein, and we'll see soon in the Gemara, not today, but we'll see eventually in the Gemara what exactly that machlokas is about. So now says the Gemara, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Maisha, chad amar kol heichal detnan baruto v'chutz l'arz shalal tzarich. All of these mishnayos that we had, where we discussed the mitzvah of kisei adam and daf pe gimel osov es beno and gidan Nasha, Israel Chayim Keva, and Resh Sageis. So we keep talking about where they apply. Do they apply in Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz? So all the ones that said that they apply Ba'aretz and Chutz La'aretz is Shalal L'Tzarech. None of them are mitzvos that are that you would ever have a Havamina that are limited to Eretz Yisrael. They're not mitzvos of Tlius Ba'aretz. So it's really unnecessary to say that they apply in Ba'aretz and Chutz La'aretz. Levad mi Resh Sageis, with the exception of Resh Sageis. La'afuke Rabbi Lo'i da'amar Resh Sageis in Noegel Ba'aretz. To tell me not like Rabbi Lo'i, who thought that Resh Sageis only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Chadamar, and the other one of these Amoraim said, not that they're arguing, they just happen to have two different things that they've pointed out. Kol Heicha Detnan, anytime it says in the Mishnah, Bifnei Abayis v'Shalo Bifnei Abayis, that the mitzvah is knowing both when the Beis Hamikdash was around and when the Beis Hamikdash is not around, Shalo L'Tzarech. That's really unnecessary because they have nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash. These mitzvahs are not about Kachem at all. Levad Me'el Sovas Beno, except for Sovas Beno, where I would have had a half a minute only by Kachem. Why would I have a half a minute also in the context that it's written, it's in Inyanei Kachim. Pasuk says Sharo Kesavo Eiz Ki Vali V'Hayishivas Yam Tachzim Yom Hashmini Vali Yeratzel Karbani Shel Hashem, that an animal is only eligible to be a carbon from the eighth day and on.
And then right after, Vishar Osov Espinol, Los Ishkudu Biyom Echad. So from context, it sounds very much like it's only Yidin Kachim. So I would think, Vizmandi Kachim, when there's Hakrabas Karbanos, Nino, then we're knowing the Yisr of Osov Espinol, Vizmandalek Kachim, but when there's no Hakrabas Kachim, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, Lo Nino. So Kamash Milan, that's why it has to tell me that Osov Espinol applies even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Vitzar Vayu Amri, and both Rabbi Yavin and Rabbi Maisha said a third thing, that Kol Heichad Titnan, Bechulun B'Mikdashim, any time we said in these Mishnayos that something applies to both Tuchulin animals and Mikdashim animals, Litzorech, that's always necessary, Levan Migiranasha, as opposed to Giranasha, where it's not necessary. It's obvious that Giranasha applies to Hagdish animals as well. Pshita, Mishum Ti Iktish, Pakale Yisr Giranasha, Minei. If there's an Yisr Giranasha on a Chulin animal, why, you think because you elevate it to a position of Kodesh, so now it loses its Giranasha status? It's Yisr Giranasha, there's no Hava Mina to say that way. Says, well, sure, there's a Hava Mina to say that way. Lavu Kimna Bavlados Kachim, didn't we say way earlier in this Masechta that the Mishnah is talking about vlados of behemos that became kodesh, that there's room to say that they wouldn't have the issue of gidanasha because when the vlad starts to form, it already has kedusha. So the gidanasha, the issue of gidanasha should not be chal on an already existing issue of hegdish. So the Mishnah is mechadish and afal pikein, there's still an issue of gidanasha. So why do Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Maisha say that there's no chiddush? There is a chiddush that even in a forming vlad that's kodesh, you have an issue of gidanasha. Taima ukimna, so says Gemara. The Gemara answers, why taka did the Gemara have to say that it's talking about vlad diskachim? Lav mishum de kasha lan, isn't it because we were bothered by the kasha? Lo listening, that the Tana shouldn't have mentioned that it applies to kachim. So, because it's obvious that it applies to kachim. So, that in Rabbi Yavin and Maisha also make karanami lo tikshilach. They don't have a kasha. There's no chiddush in this din of the Mishnah. I did Tana l'tzarech, Tana nami shalol l'tzarech. That agav, that the Tana said that which by Yosef Espino, Litzorech, over there, there's a chiddush that it applies to non-kachim, so that's why we mentioned that by all of these things, that they apply both to kachim and to non-kachim animals. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots on the bottom.